And just be placing your hands, the talk tonight and this whole series, just place it all in your hands, and we ask you to bless us and protect us in every way and lead us by the light and love of your Spirit. Come, O Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, you teach the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant us by the gift of the same Spirit that we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Well, tonight's talk is an introduction to the healing ministry of prayer. And I would just like to ask, for how many people present is this sort of a new field altogether? I mean, if you're new to this sort of thing, would you put up your hands? Quite a number. Well, I would ask many of the other people who, in fact, have been listening to talks about healing for a number of years, you know, to be patient and forgive me if they hear things which they've heard before from me and others. But I think it is desirable that on this first night we should sort of, you know, lay the foundations in an introductory talk which covers, or tries to cover, all the main points. And I'd like to start with a short personal testimony. I myself have received quite a lot of healing through prayer. Quite a lot of physical healing through prayer. And I'll tell you of one example of that, that about 7 years ago my right knee went, and I was sent to the hospital, and I was x-rayed, and the surgeon said that my cartilage had gone and that I needed an operation. And the date for my entry into the hospital was fixed, and I had to have physiotherapy 3 afternoons a week to sort of build up the strength of the knee for when the cartilage was gone. And I was hobbling, I walked with a limp, and when I went downstairs, I could only put the right foot first. Couldn't walk down normally. And I went to an Anglican church in Luton where an Anglican priest with a great healing ministry, Colin Urquhart, prayed over me. And I limped into his church and I ran out. When I came back, I walked up and down the stairs normally. When I went for physiotherapy next day, the physiotherapist was very surprised that I was walking as I was. And a week before I was due in for the operation, I saw the sister who was in charge of the outpatients who had been seeing the specialist with me, and she said, yes, your bed is reserved for next week. And I said, well, sister, my knee seems rather different now. And I gave her a demonstration run around the corridor, there's no one about, and she sent me home. And I've never needed to see a doctor about my knee again. But I've also had, through prayer, the healings of fears and anxieties. And I know there are quite a number of people in the room tonight, I see, who've also known and experienced healing through prayer. Now, in recent years, there's been a growth of the healing ministry in the Catholic Church and in other churches. Praying for the healing of spirits, minds, and bodies has never sort of died out in the church. It's part of the tradition of the Catholic Church. And, you know, there have always been those prayers in the liturgy. In the liturgy, we've always asked for praying for healing. But in quite a number of recent years, we've tended to associate praying for healing with special places like Lourdes or Fatima, or special people, you know, saints. And otherwise, we haven't always expected all that much healing to come through prayer in our parishes, in our local communities. But the Vatican Council has certainly helped here. It helped because it gave the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, you know, a greater stress on healing. You know, before we called it the extreme unction, and we tended to stress the side of healing somebody on their last journey to heaven. And so the Second Vatican Council has helped us there, and the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church has also considerably helped the new spreading of the healing ministry, because within the charismatic renewal, gifts which normally have lied dormant are coming to light again, coming to life again, and in the charismatic renewal, it's regarded as more and more normal that in ordinary prayer groups and parishes, healings of spirits, minds, and bodies should take place in answer to prayer. And I want now to read one of the passages of Jesus' healing miracles, this one from Matthew chapter 8. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served him. That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Yes, Jesus went about healing the sick. Nearly one-fifth of the Gospels are taken up by accounts of his healing miracles. And Jesus healed people because he loved them, because he had compassion on them, but it was also a sign of who he was, the unique Son of God. And Jesus, in various places, as in the reading we've had just now, it says he healed all who came to him, all who came to him on that occasion. And I'm sure that Jesus never laid hands on anybody for healing with nothing that happening. But his healing ministry was also a sign of who he was, the unique Son of God. And Jesus himself said, we read in John chapter 10, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. The works that he did in his Father's name bear witness to him. And Jesus not only healed himself, but he told his followers to heal in his name. And we read in Luke chapter 9. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal. And in the next chapter, it says the same thing when he sent the 72 out. And at the end of Mark's Gospel, Jesus said, of those who believe, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And that's largely how the early church spread. You know, they preached the gospel with boldness, and Jesus confirmed with the signs which followed, and those signs were mainly healing. That's what we read at the end of Mark's Gospel. And they went forth and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that attended it. Amen. And think, for example, of the case of the man born lame whom Peter and John were used to heal. He jumped up, he followed them into the temple, the Jews gathered round, Peter preached his sermon, there were 5,000 conversions. Now, humanly speaking, no miracle of healing, no crowd round Peter and John, no opportunity to preach a sermon, no healings. And I think the renewal of the healing ministry is very relevant to the crisis of faith in the church and among Christians today. You know, we live in a time when it's perhaps more difficult for people to believe. The atmosphere of secular thought, the atmosphere of materialism around us, the atmosphere of hedonism. And I think the renewal of the healing ministry in part can help with this crisis of faith. Because you see, if the gospel is just words, if it's just, you know, what people are saying, then it's not going to cut ice. Where are the signs which follow the words and confirm them? Where is the power in the church which Jesus promised? Jesus said, we read in Acts chapter 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, I'm sure there's always been power in the church, but, you know, sometimes it's not very visible. Sometimes, you know, it's things of rather cooled down. And I think, you know, the power of the Spirit is shown in the healing ministry, amongst other things. I don't say it's only shown where people are healed. I mean, the power of Jesus is also shown when somebody dies of terminal cancer in great peace and great joy, despite the suffering. Nevertheless, I mean, the renewal of the healing ministry is a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And that is something we're confirming the preaching of the gospel. And we should never separate the healing ministry. We should never separate the healing ministry from the proclamation of the word. They go together. The right context for the healing ministry is the proclamation of the good news of the gospel. And then it comes, so to speak, as a confirmation that the words of the gospel are not just words, but the power of Jesus is living today. And it may not be for nothing that some of the churches which are spreading very rapidly in the world today, the Pentecostal churches and some of these independent charismatic churches, are churches in which, you know, there's praying for healing and the word is often confirmed by the signs which follow. So I think that's there's a real link between the renewal of the healing ministry and the needs, you know, in this time of crisis of faith, at any rate, in what used to be called Christian countries. Now, when we pray for healing, we should pray always for the healing of spirit, mind, and body, not just the body. And spiritual healing is always the most important. And it's important that we keep our priorities right. And we all need further spiritual healing. You know, if we were to stress physical healing, if we were to put the accent on the physical healing, we would in fact get less healing than if we in fact give the priority to the spiritual. Because if we put the accent on the physical healing, we would be outside, you know, the divine order of things. We would be outside the priorities of Jesus. So let us never forget that. And people may come for prayers for healing because they're only thinking of their bad back or their bad eyes or their bad knees or whatever it is. But Jesus may have brought them there above all to receive spiritual healing. And very often the physical healing will follow the spiritual healing. But let us have things right. The most important thing is always spiritual healing, deeper conversion to Jesus, fuller giving our life to Jesus. And we must seek physical healing so that we can serve Jesus better, so that we can bear more fruit for him, not just to go on doing our own selfish thing. Now, a word which I think is important at the beginning here is to say that we should never oppose praying for healing and the medical profession. Jesus also heals through doctors and medicines. And, you know, Christian doctors, Christian nurses, Christian dentists, they also have a ministry of healing. That's why I call this talk the ministry of prayer for healing. Ministry of healing of prayer. Because, you know, nurses and doctors are also exercising the important ministry of Jesus in healing. And we should pray for doctors. Pray for the medical profession. And we should pray before taking medicines and pray that treatment should be effective. Sometimes the answer to a prayer for healing will be, you know, to make the treatment effective or to find the right doctor or to lead the right doctor to give the right treatment. And we should pray for the healing of harmful side effects of medicines and treatment. We've seen some very remarkable examples of that in recent years with this chemotherapy, which is given for cancer cases often. It's given with very unpleasant side effects. And in many cases, we've seen remarkable lessening of the harmful, unpleasant side effects through prayer. Now, some Christians adopt an attitude which I think is unfortunate. They think, well, the normal way of getting well physically is through doctors and medicines. And if that doesn't work, turn to prayer. And I think we should normally start by praying. And in fact, I'm sure if more people started by praying, there'd be much less need to go to doctors and much less need to take those billions of pills which are consumed every year in this country and in other countries in the Western world. Often, if people really prayed for healing and got others to pray for healing, you know, there wouldn't be the need to turn to the medical profession. And you know, mind you, one shouldn't delay going to a doctor when it's necessary. If you break your leg, well, go to the doctor, don't try prayer first, but pray in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. But don't think of prayer for healing as something which comes in when medicines fail. I would normally start by prayer, and it will be the experience of people that very often they then don't have to go to the doctor. Now, I want us to consider a moment why people are not healed when we pray for healing. And I'm thinking particularly, but not only, in this these next sections of physical healing. Now, it may be lack of faith. It may be lack of faith on the part of the sick person. I just say it may be, it's certainly not always that. And people can be healed without having any faith themselves. In the remarkable healing ministry of Catherine Kuhlman in America, many of the people who received the most remarkable miracles were people who in fact had no faith at all, or practically none, but God healed them in order to bring them to faith, amongst other things. The result of their physical healing led many to faith. Sometimes God heals that way around. Or there may be lack of faith on the part of those ministering and on the part of the Christian community. Maybe in our prayer groups, in our parishes, we just don't believe enough. Just haven't all that sort of confidence in the promises of Jesus. So what are we to do about this lack of faith? In the first place, repent of our sin of lack of faith. And I never met anybody, and never will, who doesn't at times need to repent of their sin of lack of faith. And then ask for ourselves and for the community the gift of faith. Ask for the gift, you know, that God will give us the faith to pray for healing, pray for other things. Now, there are various passages in the New Testament which talk about mountain-moving faith, aren't there? If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, move into the sea, and it will be moved. And most of us, when we come to these passages, just turn over in a rather embarrassed way, because it doesn't seem to correspond to anything in our experience or in the experience of most of our communities. And yet there are a certain number of Christians who regularly, through the mercy of God, through the grace of God, are seeing mountains move through their prayers. It may be mountains of illness, it may be mountains of financial needs, it may be mountains of difficulties in marriage relationships or something of that kind. But you know, there is a place in the Christian life for really beating on the gates of heaven. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, Jesus said. And you know, we're called to do this. We're called to do this. And although everybody won't be given an equal gift of mountain-moving faith, I think any of us, sometimes God will want to use our prayers for the moving of mountains. So perhaps we should be asking for more of that faith for our Christian communities. And sometimes people aren't healed because of lack of love, lack of prayer, and perhaps lack of fasting on the part of the Christian community, those around them. And I'll tell you a story here of what happened in London about a year or so ago. A Harley Street specialist, who's a member of a charismatic covenant community, had a bad heart attack. And he had to have open heart surgery, and it was a dicey business. And in fact, all went well, and you know, he was able to go back to his work. But I'm not telling you this story as a sort of miracle of healing. But what I'm telling you it for this reason, that during a whole week, there was one member or another of his community was praying for him round the clock, night and day. Right round the clock, night and day for a week, somebody was praying for him. Now that is loving community, isn't it? And you see, so often in our parishes or prayer groups we say we'll pray for that sick person, but how much do we pray? How deeply does our loving community care go? If there was more of that sort of love in our communities, I'm sure there would be more healings in answer to prayer. So what have we got to do about that? Again, repent of our lack of love in our Christian communities, our prayer groups, our parishes, our families, and ask for the gift of greater love. Love is the gift of God's grace, but he wants us to ask for it. Another reason why people sometimes aren't healed is because of lack of forgiveness, bitterness, resentment, jealousy, envy, lack of love on the part of the sick person. You know, these things like lack of forgiveness, bitterness, resentment, these things both cause illness and block the healing power of Jesus. Do you know that statistically, during the year after someone's husband's died or left them, or wife has died or left them, someone is more likely to get cancer than at another time. You sort of, you know, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, the sadness, and so on, these things, you know, can play their part in allowing cancer to form. It's also very true of an illness like arthritis. It's true of so many illnesses. Things like lack of forgiveness are particularly important. So we would ask people, before they come forward on any occasion to be prayed with for physical healing, it's good to ask someone, have you forgiven everybody everything? And if not, try and get that sorted out first. And in a healing service, it's good always to pray for the healing of lack of forgiveness, healing of bitterness and resentment, before you ever come to praying for physical healing. And often when the blockage of lack of forgiveness, the bitterness, resentment has gone, then the healing, the physical healing, will follow. And sometimes people aren't healed because there's a need for a change in lifestyle. And God isn't going to heal them physically until, you know, that change in their way of life. For example, if somebody's smoking 40 cigarettes a day, it's no good just praying for the healing of the lungs, healing of the bronchitis. Or if somebody's drinking a bottle of whiskey a day, they'd have to be a rich man now, wouldn't they? It'd be no good just praying for the healing of the liver. Or people who are workaholics, people who, you know, who've got an exaggerated passion for working. I mean, maybe God is allowing some sort of illness to begin to show itself as a sign that they've to slow down. And he's not going to want to heal them there in order to go on living at a tempo which he doesn't want them to live at. Or diet. There are many people who are eating a very foolish diet, eating the wrong thing. No good just praying for the healing of the digestion and doing nothing about the 12 cream cakes a day. Or sleep. People who are neglecting to take enough sleep. You know, God may first want to put right, heal our lifestyle before he heals our bodies. And then sometimes people may not be healed physically and otherwise because God may have a purpose of redemptive suffering in their sickness. Maybe for a time or more than a time, he wants them, so to speak, to share in his work of redemption, the work of redemption of Jesus, you know, through their sufferings, including through physical suffering from illness. And if God wants that to be so, well then prayer for healing won't remove that sickness, as long as God wants it to be so at any rate, and we should want to be able to accept, you know, God's cross if he really wishes it for us. Because, you know, we all have to say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and all our prayer for healing has to be in that context. And we read in Colossians chapter 1, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. And it's a very important part of the good news of the Christian gospel that our sufferings can be fruitful, can be redemptive. You see, the most appalling suffering may come upon anybody in 10 minutes' time. These things happen at night. And if our sufferings are fruitless and meaningless and senseless, then they really are something terribly, terribly grim. That really is an awful thought, isn't it? Terrible suffering, which is meaningless, fruitless. But if through the mercy and grace of Jesus, our sufferings, including our physical illnesses, can be very fruitful for ourselves and others, that's immensely good news. So we shouldn't oppose, on the one hand, our belief in praying for healing, including physical healing, and on the other, our belief that our sufferings can be fruitful when united to those of Christ, including our physical illnesses. And, you know, that, you know, it's good to know this, too, that even when someone is getting better, that during the time they still suffer from their physical illness, or even their emotional or mental illness, you know, those sufferings can be fruitful. Thank God for the good news that our sufferings can be meaningful and fruitful. And sometimes people aren't healed because it's time to go to heaven. And going to heaven is the only perfect healing for anybody. And when we're dealing with what doctors would call terminal cases, we shouldn't pray to keep people out of heaven a day longer than God wants. You know, that would be rendering someone a disservice. Life is so much better in heaven than on earth that we shouldn't want to keep someone out of heaven longer than God wants. You know, sometimes people think, well, it's a pity they didn't live on earth to see, you know, the beauty of summer a few more times, to experience this or that joy on earth. But the beauties of the summers in heaven are, so to speak, so much more beautiful than the summers on earth, that we shouldn't look at it in that way. The reason for praying for what doctors call terminal cases is insofar and to the extent that these people haven't finished the work which God has them to do on earth. But when Jesus really does call some, then we should thank God that they're going home, that they're going to a better place. You know, our praying for healing is something, must be something in the light of the gospel. And the light of the gospel includes that our heaven is in home and Jesus made us for heaven. And that when he calls, well, thank God that somebody is going home. But we mustn't say too quickly, too soon, as I think we often do. You know, when an illness comes or sometimes an accident, ah, yes, God, you know, that has a purpose of redemptive suffering and, you know, just to accept it. You know, we should start by seeking to get well, by using normal medical means and through prayer. And it's only after we've tried to do what we can through ordinary medical means and prayer, in fact, I'd put it the other way around, through prayer and ordinary medical means, it's only after we've tried to do what we can, and if nothing happens, then we can say, right, yes, Jesus appears to have a purpose of redemptive suffering there. And you see, I'm sure that if we were to start praying with faith more, many of the cases where we've said, ah, yes, that person's had that illness, the cross sent by Jesus for years, in fact, many of those people would, in fact, be healed so that they could bear other crosses for the work of spreading God's kingdom. So let's start by prayer as we start by using normal medical means. And if we pray with faith and in love, I'm sure we shall find that there are far more healing miracles taking place, far more people being healed as an answer to prayer. Indeed, that's been the experience of many charismatic prayer groups in recent years. Now, I want to say a few words about the important place of the sacraments in the healing ministry. And perhaps this is especially a Roman Catholic contribution, you know, to the general healing ministry among Christians. But I'm not going to say much about it because on another evening, there'll be a whole evening devoted to the healing ministry and the sacraments. But just to say, there is the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. There's the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, which is also a healing sacrament. And Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist, is also a healing sacrament. And I think we should encourage people, and for ourselves also, when we go to communion, ask Jesus to heal us and strengthen us in spirit, mind, and body. And to know that, you know, when we receive Jesus, the great healer, in communion, and that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, as the writer of the Hebrews says. And, you know, praying for healing after communion is a specially privileged time for praying for healing.
That's the end of side one. Please turn the cassette over now.
And you know, praying for healing after communion is a specially privileged time for praying for healing. So let us make full use of the sacraments in seeking healing through prayer. Now, who should pray for healing? Well, in the first place, the whole Christian community should pray for healing, the parish, the church, the whole Christian community. And indeed, there are many prayers in the liturgy encouraging us to pray for healing. And if there were more praying for healing in our parishes, I'm sure there'd be more people being healed in answer to prayer. That's one level of prayer for healing. Then there's a special role of the clergy, especially in connection with the sacraments. And in James chapter 5, which I'm not reading tonight because there will be this later talk on the sacraments, it says, call the elders of the church together. And it's the elders who are to anoint the sick person. So the clergy, who are the elders here, have a special role in the healing ministry. And then I think it's important to encourage people to pray for healing within families and among friends. You know, I think God will often give someone a special gift, a special grace for praying for healing in those circumstances. I think we should encourage husbands and wives to pray with each other for healing. Pray for their children for healing. Pray for your friend for healing, your neighbor, people who are sort of close to you. You know, where there's greater love, we can be normally a more effective channel for the healing of Jesus. And normally there's greater love within a family or among people who are close friends. So I'm sure that's an important thing in the healing ministry now, to encourage people to do this much more in homes. And also where they can, to lay hands on people. Jesus said believers should lay their hands on the sick. And it's a matter of experience that when people lay hands on someone they're praying for, more tends to happen. You know, it doesn't have to be next to the skin. If you're praying for someone's shoulder, we'll get them to take off the coat, but it doesn't have to be next to the skin. And, you know, so we had a wonderful case of that in North London not long ago. There was a woman who for decades had suffered a lot from migraine. And people with healing ministries and clergy and healing prayer groups had sort of prayed over with very rarely little effect or none. And her husband, who was in the renewal, but wasn't regarded as someone having a ministry or gift for healing, he started praying with her every day, laying his hands on her head every day for a short time. And you know, those decades of migraines just went and have gone. So God used her husband's prayers when he didn't use the prayers, so to speak, of people in special healing prayer groups and so on. And that sort of thing can happen. It's sort of, we should encourage people more and more to pray for healing in families and among friends with the laying on of hands when they can. And then there's another level of who should pray for healing. Some people have received gifts of healing, according to St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we should thank God for these gifts, and we should use them, and we should regard it as absolutely normal that in a parish, in a prayer group, in a local Christian community, there are people who God gives these gifts to. You know, gifts of healing are not a sign of sanctity. That's, I think, where we've often gone wrong. We've associated healing with saints. Well, saints are certainly also used to heal. But you see, if somebody sort of prays for healing, we think, well, do they think they're a saint? Are they a saint? Or if she's praying for healing, she certainly shouldn't be praying for healing because I know she's not a saint. Or if somebody really was a saint, they wouldn't think they were a saint, so they would think, well, I can't pray for healing, so nobody would pray for healing. Now, there's nothing in the New Testament suggests that you need to be more of a saint to pray for healing than you do to teach or preach or administer, be in administration. And we don't say, you know, so-and-so can't be the parish treasurer and the administrator in the parish because he's not yet a saint. So-and-so shouldn't be teaching or preaching or giving catechetical lessons because he's not yet a saint. Indeed, every gift will go wrong if we're not seeking sanctity. But God doesn't wait till we're saints till he uses us, does he? Thank God. And there's nothing in the New Testament to suggest that you need to be more of a saint to exercise the gift of healing than the gift of administration or the gift of teaching. But this must be said, that for all the gifts of the Spirit, we are not the discerner of our own gifts. You know, we have to submit our gifts to the discernment of others. That applies to the gift of healing, but equally to the gift of preaching, administration, music, or anything else. Somebody can have an illusion. I might have the illusion that I have wonderful gifts of music. It would be painfully obvious to everyone else that I was mistaken. I can well say to the prayer group or the parish, I think I should lead the singing. But then they would discern, in my case very rapidly, that I was mistaken, and I would have to accept their discernment. The gift of healing, like every other gift, has to be discerned by others, normally the leaders of the community. That might mean the parish priest, it might mean the leaders of a prayer group. And it has to be exercised under submission. All gifts of the Spirit should be exercised under submission. And for that, there's need for humility. And the gift of healing, like every other gift, will go wrong in its use if there isn't humility. And growing gifts require growing humility. And great gifts require great humility. And, you know, accepting the discernment of others and ministering under submission may be part of that, you know, growing in humility. You see, it can be a rather sort of heady business, the gift of healing. I remember some years ago, after I'd prayed with a woman and her husband and others were there for depression and the things, in the end, she insisted on taking my hands in hers and kissing my hands at length and saying, "These have been the hands of Jesus for me tonight." Now, for all I know, at the end of the week, she might have said, "Well, that visit was a total waste of time." What happened, I don't know. But you see, that can be heady stuff, and we're all sinners. Pride goes very deep in each one of us. We all, to some extent, seek ourselves in our ministries and in our gifts. So we need growing humility. Great gifts require great humility. But you know, humility is not only required on the part of those who exercise the gift of healing. It's required on the part of other people too. You know, pride goes deep in all of us. And people can be jealous and envy of the gifts of others. Why is she called to lay hands on someone and not me? Who does she think she is? Why do they think she's more suitable than that than I am? And you know, sometimes jealousy and envy of that kind can stop somebody exercising a ministry of healing or any other ministry in a parish or a prayer group, you know, when God would have liked them to exercise it. So, you know, the gift of healing, the ministry of healing, is a call for everybody to grow in humility, as indeed are all the other gifts of the Spirit. Now, most healing is gradual, and we need to go on praying for healing. You know, somebody might come to a prayer meeting and have hands laid on, and there might be, you know, something of an improvement. And then if they just leave it at that, that improvement can fade away. Well, what was needed was ongoing prayer. You see, if we were to pray over someone one evening, say for an arthritic shoulder, and there was a certain improvement, it's almost certain that if we prayed over them again the next week, there'd be a further improvement, and the next week, still further. And so one needs to go on praying, and also to pray, go on praying, even if nothing happens in the beginning. I remember one woman came to one of our prayer groups, and she got quite a young woman, and she got lots of things wrong with her physically. And we prayed for her, there were about five things physically, and we prayed, as always, first of all, for the healing of spirit and mind. And she came back about four or five times, and nothing had improved physically, and she was feeling more and more full of joy and peace and faith and love. She became radiant spiritually, but it was very frustrating. Nothing moved physically. And then the sixth time we prayed, the knee got better. And then gradually other things improved. Till eventually, after several years, she was able to breathe through one of her nostrils, which had already had four operations. Thank God for that. But if she'd given up after five times, it would have been too soon. And so one needs ongoing prayer, and you know, that's part of the sacrificial aspect of the healing ministry. It'd be much easier if you just sort of laid hands on someone, you know, for a few moments, and well, if it happened, it happened, if it didn't, it didn't, and that was that. It's much more wearisome to go on praying and go on praying and go on praying. And sometimes, I mean, it may be a matter of praying for an hour or more on end, or it may be praying a little each day or every week for quite a long time. But, you know, most healing is gradual, and we need to go on praying. And I think another important thing here is to say is that people should pray for their own healing. Sometimes they'll come to a prayer meeting and ask for prayers, and they've just come to receive, and they think all they've got to do is come and receive, and then they go away, and perhaps they come back next week. But they think they themselves have nothing to do. But in fact, they need to go on praying for their own healing, and praying with greater faith. Now, some Catholics seem to have a problem about that. They seem to feel it's selfish to pray for your own healing. I remember once I was in this very room, I was giving a talk on the healing ministry, and a man who was quite young, but a real invalid, physical invalid, came up to me and he said, "Father, I've never prayed for my own healing." And he rather felt that he was doing the more noble thing. He was mistaken. Because we all have a moral obligation to try to be well, in general. Because when we're well, we can normally serve God better and we're less trouble to other people. And there's nothing more selfish about praying for your own healing than going to the doctor. So we should encourage people to pray for their healing and go on praying for their healing in general. Healings happen where there are loving, believing, praying, and perhaps fasting communities. You know, God gives gifts, you know, to the community and to the individual as a member of the community. So what we need to do is become our parishes, our prayer groups, our religious communities, you know, to become communities of greater love, of greater faith, of greater prayer, and perhaps more fasting. And when we do this, you know, I'm sure we shall see more healings. And I think, you know, in a prayer group, if healings aren't taking place in answer to prayer, well, pray about it. Ask God to raise up ministers of healing in that prayer group. Pray about it. And I'm sure he will. I'm sure God wants to do that. As I would see things, I think he wants it to be normal that in every parish, every prayer group, every Christian community, healings of spirits, minds, and bodies are taking place in answer to prayer. And I think he wants to raise up people who have gifts of healing in every parish, in every prayer group, in every community. I don't say great gifts. I'm not saying he wants to raise up great saints in every parish. I'm not saying that. But most ministers of healing, most gifts of healing, are fairly small gifts, and certainly start as small gifts. So I'm not sort of seeing, you know, the growth of the healing ministry as above all some sort of superstars flashing about here or there. And God may want to give some people, I think he will want to give some people great gifts. But I think what he's doing especially, what is more important, is that among the whole people of God, you know, in their parishes and communities, among them, God is raising up people with gifts and ministries of healing. And we should pray for that. I pray for God to do that for his church. And I think it's part of the renewal of the church today. You know, the power of Jesus may become more evident. And I'm sure it's important for the spreading of the gospel. You know, in the early church, the pagans would often send their people to Christian gatherings to be prayed with for healing, you know, because they knew from experience that people got healed there. And as a result of that, quite a lot of people became Christians. And wouldn't it be wonderful if that happened again? If the pagans around us, you know, sent their people to Christian churches and parishes to be prayed with for healing because they'd heard that healings took place, and that as a result of that, many pagans became Christians. That's what I think God wants to do. That's what I think Jesus wants to do. That's, I think, an important part of the renewal of the church today. And that, I think, is something we need to be praying for. Well, that's the end of my talk. Now, if there are questions, we'll have a time for questions. And then what I'd like to do, after a time of questions, I'd like if Sister Joseph McKeon and myself, Sister Joseph is here to help tonight, and she'll be giving the talk on the final night with me. If we could say a general prayer for healing, and perhaps pray with one or two individuals, because I think it's good, you know, not just to talk about healing, but actually if people perhaps see some praying for healing, hear praying for healing. But there won't be much time for that, because this is primarily a talk and questions, but I'd like to leave some time for that at the end. So now perhaps, if there are any questions, if somebody is suffering from a stroke in hospital, for those who didn't hear the question, how would you know that their sufferings are helping the world? I think, I mean, God alone would know, can judge these things for certain, but sometimes, you know, the signs you see are favorable, and sometimes they're not very favorable, although God alone knows finally. But our job is to try and help people to be well in general, but using a certain common Christian sense, you know, of discernment. I mean, when I prayed once for one of our nuns who was 90 and the heart was packing up and everything was packing up and she was longing to go to heaven, I prayed for the healing of spirit and mind and the relieving of suffering and distress in the body. And I didn't pray for the healing of the body. I mean, that would have, you know, wouldn't have been, it would have been against Christian common sense. You don't need much discernment to see in a case like that. But in general, we should pray for healing, just as in general, a doctor tries to get somebody well. But then, if in fact, you know, God doesn't answer in that way, or doesn't yet answer in that way, thank God that our sufferings can be fruitful and redemptive. What's the best way to keep the healing? Well, I mean, I think it's normal that we should pray, you know, it's part of our general normal prayer, daily prayer if you like, but, you know, God will fill us with his healing love, spirit, mind and body. I know whenever I go to communion, I ask God to heal me and strengthen me in spirit, mind and body. I think a sort of general prayer. And as I say, you get prayers in the liturgy. The Mass of Our Lady on Saturday, you know, asks for health of mind and body. But we shouldn't sort of, you know, we should entrust our health to the Lord as we should entrust every other aspect of our life to the Lord. And then again, there can be sort of sensible living. You know, if for no reason, you know, we're eating the wrong things, living a sort of life which is unsound from the medical point of view, well, obviously that's not going to help. Try and live in a sort of sensible way, insofar as one can. As far as, but of course, I mean, God may want someone to take a special risk with their health from the point of view of building up his kingdom. Well, if he does, we have to say yes and rely on him, you know, just hand over our health to him. I don't think I said that God wants suffering. I put it this way, you see, suffering is an evil. It's the result of the fall. I mean, in heaven there'll be no suffering. But in the world in which we live, which is affected by the fall, and as we know that, I mean, Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. So he wants us all to bear the cross, doesn't he? So in that sense, you know, but we don't want useless suffering, we don't want unnecessary suffering. And in general, we should try and relieve people's suffering, as we do in the healing ministry. But the problem is, what about those people where the healing isn't relieved? It's in those cases that I say, thank God, sufferings can be redemptive. And very often, quite often we've seen with cancer cases, that even where the person wasn't healed, there's been a remarkable relieving of pain. And that's very well worthwhile physically. Not to mention, you know, spiritual peace. Is all healing good, and what about spiritualist healers and mediums and so on? On the final talk, I was intending to say something about that, but I'll answer your question straight away. No, we should never go to spiritualist healers and mediums. I'm not saying that nobody ever receives any physical healing through them, but you see, there can be a sort of psychological and spiritual kickback. And the Bible forbids spiritism. So does the tradition of the church. And therefore we should keep well clear of that. Well clear of it. It's important to do that, to keep clear. And, there's a slightly tragic thing there at the moment. You see, I remember seeing an advertisement in the Tube of South London, do you want to be healed? If so, come to our service on Sunday morning, you know, spiritualist church. And I couldn't help thinking, in the first three centuries of the life of the church, you know, people would have gone to the Christian church for healing. And you see, if we fail at the level of healing, if we don't develop the healing ministry, then people will go elsewhere. They'll go to wrong places. That's another reason why it's important to develop the healing ministry in the church. If you've got somebody who's suffering a great deal of physical and other pain, and you know, the Christian church isn't offering them any hope at that level, physical recovery, and they hear of good stories happening from people who go to spiritualist healers, well, many will feel tempted to go and go. And it could be partly our fault through our mission, you know, our failure to follow the command of Jesus, to lay our hands on the sick and to pray for healing and heal the sick in his name. You can get healing through demonic agencies for a time. I think you can. And I think the devil looks after his own sometimes. Someone like Hitler was protected in an extraordinary way, I don't think by God's angels. You know, so I think that there can be things there which are not of God. Now, I don't want to say that there may also be a purely natural gift of healing, which is not demonic. So I don't want to say that, you know, everybody who doesn't say I'm healing in the pray for healing in the name of Jesus is therefore demonic. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that spiritism, I think, is wrong and something to be avoided. Because, I mean, it's going against the teaching of the Bible and the teaching of the church. And therefore, the wrong sort of things can enter in. On the whole, I'd say, you know, just pray in ordinary Christian words. Normally, I'd say pray spontaneously. You see, I mean, if your wife has, you know, got a broken knee and it's causing a lot of pain, well, you know, lay your hands on and say, Jesus, I ask you to fill my wife with your healing love, spirit, mind, and body, and touch the healing of this knee. You know, you don't have to have a sort of formula. But it's good always to include healing of spirit and mind, and you know, to pray things like God's peace, and just speak to God. And it's good normally, as I said, to lay hands on, you know, where you can, the part of the body. But your words rather than formulas. You know, we can also make use of sacramentals, not only sacraments. And there's a sacramental of blessed olive oil, sacramental, you know, like holy water. And that lay people can also use to administer other people or administer themselves. You know, you can get this olive oil blessed in this way. There's a blessing in the Roman ritual. And, you know, if you've got a bad knee, you can put some on your knee with a little anointing or prayer, or put it on your wife's knee. But if you do that, please, if you do that for someone else, please make it quite clear that you're not giving them the sacrament of the sick, which is reserved to the clergy. On the whole, it's safer to stick to people who are good Christians. They don't have to be Catholics, or it can be a good Protestant, but not spiritualists and people who pray in the name of Jesus. It's safer there, because when you go outside that, you don't quite know where you're going to always. In what way can fasting help? Well, you know, it says in one of the Gospels about, I think it's Mark, Mark's Gospel about the epileptic boy. Why wasn't this boy healed? And one of the early versions says, you know, because of this only comes out through prayer and fasting, although some of the other versions don't add fasting. But Jesus certainly expected us to fast. He didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. And when we read in the Acts of the Apostles, we see they did fast in the early church. So some sort of fasting from food would appear to be, and I would say definitely, it should be a normal part of, you know, the ordinary Christian discipline. But I wouldn't be in favor of people doing any fasting which a doctor wasn't happy with. But you know, most doctors would be very happy if many of us did a bit more fasting, wouldn't they? So, and experience, I mean, it's not only is it biblical, but many people find in experience that, you know, when they fast, more happens. For instance, on our I know there's one member of our team of our Friday night prayer meeting here takes no solid food on Friday for the sake of the healing ministry. I'm afraid I'm not very good at it myself. I'm one of the weaker brethren. I wonder whether that's enough for questions now. We might say a general prayer for healing. There's not much time for this tonight, and so, you know, we're not doing a healing service tonight. If it had been a healing service, we would have had, you know, 40 minutes, 45 minutes of praise and prayer first. I mean, it's been primarily a teaching tonight, and so this is just a sort of mini little prayer for healing. But at any rate, I think, you know, we just ask God to bless us. If he is our precious blood, protect us from all harm, all evil, all attacks of the enemy. And Jesus, we praise you and thank you for your great love for each one of us. We praise and thank you that your love is a healing love, forgiving love, strengthening love, protecting love. We praise you and thank you, Jesus, that all things are possible with you. And Jesus, we come before you in repentance because we're sinners. We repent of our lack of faith and hope, our failure to trust you enough, to believe in your promises. We repent of all lack of love, all failure to forgive fully, all bitterness and resentment, all jealousy and envy. Jesus, we repent of our pride, our self-seeking, our selfishness, all our sins. And we thank you, Jesus, that our sins are forgiven, that they're washed away in your precious blood. And Jesus, we abandon ourselves into your hands now, our spirits, our minds, our bodies, our need for healing and protection. Our weaknesses, our problems, our difficulties, also the blessings, the gifts, the opportunities you've given us. And Jesus, we ask that your holy will of love, your holy will of fruitfulness and service, your holy will of healing and protection, of peace and joy, of faith and hope, may be done in us at all times and in all places. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus, please send your Holy Spirit upon us with ever greater gifts of faith and hope. We may believe more strongly in your loving presence, your healing power, your loving providence. Jesus, please send your Holy Spirit upon us with an ever greater gift of love. Love of God. Love of the neighbor. Love of the people we find it most difficult to love. Jesus, please send your Holy Spirit upon us with the gift of total forgiveness. We may forgive everyone everything from the depths of our hearts, the depths of our minds. Jesus, please fill us with your peace. Fill us with your joy. Touch us, please, Jesus, for the healing of spirit, mind, and body. Touch us, please, Jesus, for the healing of all bitterness and resentment, all fear and anxiety, all depression, discouragement. Jesus, we've all been wounded, we've all been hurt, and you alone know fully the nature of those hurts and wounds. In your great love and mercy, please touch us for the healing of all the difficult and painful memories and wounds of the past. Fill us with your healing love, Jesus, spirit, mind, and body.